Well, it is awesome to be here, and I alluded a little bit in talking to the kids. It is just fascinating to me how the Lord works through everything. I had a friend of mine a couple days ago. He kind of reviewed all the things that led up to our departure, and he said, look how the Lord worked. And he listed like six or seven things that were just kind of dramatic to our lives that we wouldn't have thought of, that the Lord just put in place for Richard and Beth to come out this way. And I wrote back and I said, and you only have that half of it. Because there's another half over here of a church with a people that were looking for a pastor and all the things that led up over the last few years to make it just right for us to come and join you. So it is, I'll probably keep saying it was very thrilling to be here and humbling last week as the Lord ministered to me thinking of how he works through all things. It is very, very cool. Well, in all my experiences in life, the things I enjoy an awful lot is people and places and learning about that. And I find myself finding great joy when I get to share that with other people. It has caused me to travel the world considering people and lands. And as you know, I've been numerous times to the Holy Lands, and it is great to show people around. But I have to say my love of people and history really leads me in just wonderful ways to the Bible, because the Bible is full of adventures. And of course, we study Scripture to know God better, to understand him more. And to get to understand it better, getting the context and the setting is always helpful. And we don't study for the sake of study. We don't study for the sake of just battening our heads. We really study to know who God is and who we are in his presence. To understand more deeply the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it affects us daily. Some of you on Facebook might have seen after we announced. And there was a time when I went on Facebook, you knew what I was doing every hour. I updated. And after a while, I realized, well, that's ridiculous. And not everybody wants to know when I'm taking a coffee break or something, even though I don't drink coffee. But I eventually found out that I like just putting when things are happening or things are important, and I want a group of people to see. Well, our departure to Iowa was a very, very big change in who we were. We'd just always been located there in the Pacific Northwest. And I, anyway, we posted a picture of the church and we posted that we were leaving. And there's quite a few comments and very kind words from a lot of people. But one person, a fellow by the name of Steve Chapman, responded back differently. And Steve and his family went with us a number of trips ago, and he brought his whole family with him. And it was quite an adventure with all his kids there. And he just simply wrote, "We're walking, we're walking." And I had to chuckle. Because when we're back there and I'm leading you and I want to get you going, I come up to the group and I say, "We're walking, we're walking." And it's just something I say. And we say it all through the trip. "We're walking, we're walking." And the reason I chuckled when I saw it, because Steve wasn't saying, "Well, let's get going." Steve was saying, "Oh, great, we're going on another adventure. We're going to go discover more. We're going to go learn more about God." And I know Steve, and I know that's where his heart was. And I thought, what a great way to see it and say it. We're walking, we're walking. And basically, we're walking to explore the Scriptures as we take our journey. We're walking to be educated on this journey, and we're walking to be encouraged as we seek God. One of the things I is just very precious to me is when I think of the Bible and God and us on walks is the early picture before the fall when God and Adam would walk in the garden. Before the fall, before sin was around, Adam got to take walks with God directly in a spectacular garden. And I always thought of I've often thought about that picture and how awesome that would be. This message, we're walking, is not just for Richard and Beth as we come, but it's also for all of us as we walk on this journey. And so I tend to be, creative in a good way, sometimes not such a good way, so I will do different props at times to help you remember things. And some of them will probably work and some of them probably won't, so forgive me beforehand as I just don't like the gospel to be boring. I want it to be fun, I want it to be interesting, and I want you to be captivated by the truth God has for you. So, as I thought of the word exploration, I thought of maybe a little Indiana Jones, and if I could play music right now, I would. But I'm not going to wear it the whole time, so I'll set it there. And as we consider the scriptures, and it's kind of like Moses was instructed by God to send out the spies to go discover, to go explore what was in the promised land. And of course, that's a story around that's a great sermon. I'm sure we'll touch on it sometime in the future. Is this mic on, Josh? Oh, okay. I feel an echo. And I like to think we were created.
That is impressive.
Wow. We have a technical staff here, bar none. Thanks, Josh. That's why you were smiling and working so hard back there. I like to think God created us to explore and to discover. And, I've been to the Middle East and quite a few different countries there. I've been to the jungles of Papua New Guinea. I've even been to a house church in Shanghai late at night, sneaking into it. And numerous other places. But really, studying Scripture is so huge and vast. It is endless. And it impacts each of us a little bit differently. It's like God speaks through it and customizes it for us. But the Bible isn't just about exploration and discovery. It's also about education. And these things are really bothersome here. And we do want to learn about God's... That's an actual graduation cap I used. We want to learn God's wisdom and truth to help us live life, to understand Him more, but also to learn how to live with each other. And that takes wisdom. On Thursday night, I shared with the board some of my thoughts about wisdom and journeys on wisdom. Sometime I'm sure I'll share with you. And how the wisdom books of the Bible especially are great to help us think, to help us live, and to help us be healthy. Now, education means a lot of things to a lot of people, and I thought I'd throw it out to you. So when you see that cap, and you think of education, what do you think of? No one thinks at all. School, I heard someone say school. Teachers, yes, they have a lot of class. Okay, anything else? Test, who said test? That's brilliant, yes. Actually, you're going to have a test a little bit later. I don't mean to scare you, but you will. The teachers never totally come out of me. Okay, and a lot of times we think of academia with a lot of degrees and really getting a lot of knowledge. And that is true, and that is all of it. And I'm going to read the 2 Timothy 3:16 passage. Do I have that there? But we did have the Indiana Jones music, so you're totally forgiven. I'll go ahead and read it. Okay, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Really, there's a lot of application for education. Actually, education without application is kind of useless. Could be entertaining, But the Bible is very good for us to help us live life, to help us know when God wants us to grow. There's two ways to be educated. You can consider what someone else says, use their wisdom to live well and avoid mistakes. Or you can be like me, where I tend to learn and be educated by experience. Usually I make a mistake and then I remember. But with me, I usually have to make it 3 or 4 times and then I remember. And so often, when we make mistakes, it is painful. When I taught at the college, I would teach students how to run printing presses and do graphic design and things of that nature. And especially on the printing presses, you had to just almost make so many experiences to acquire the experience so someone would hire you. And I did notice, well, I wanted them to have the expense of those mistakes and have the state of Washington, I was at a state college, pay for the mistakes, because I noticed the employers did not like to pay for their mistakes. And so anything I could do to help them. So we would celebrate mistakes there. And that isn't bad. It just tends to be painful. Now, the next E is encouragement. And I have to tell you, I racked my brain to think of what hat I could put on my head for encouragement. I couldn't. I tried really hard. So instead, Beth gave me a rock in the shape of a heart. Actually, it's a rock that someone gave us as we were leaving. It simply says, friends are a blessing. And I could put it on my head, but it doesn't fit. And I will use that to help us remember, because encouragement is so important. It is so important and critical. And we're going to talk a little bit about encouragement in today's message. John 10, 28 and 30 reads, I give them eternal life. This is encouragement that Jesus gives us. He gave it to us directly. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. First of all, he ends up showing unity there. But he also says, we belong to him. We belong to Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more encouraging. There's nothing more encouraging than having your eternity set in place. It is awesome to have the eternity set in place by God. So, it brings us to Colossians. You're probably wondering, when are we going to get to Colossians? And we're going to go there now. So, how does one find a little 4-chapter book in the New Testament? 4 chapters isn't a lot. It's a 12th book in the New Testament. But if you're like me, you'll never remember that because there's a lot of books in the New Testament. And some of you might have your system. Actually, I'm going to ask you in a minute if you have a system. But Beth, when we first got married, she told me how she remembers it. And so I've got to give full credit to her on this. And it's just kind of a cute little thing. And I'll start with, well, you know the 4 Gospels. There's 4 Gospels in the New Testament, right? Life of Christ. And then you have a 5th book, Acts, which gives like the start of the church. And then you have 3 epistles that are big. You have Romans. And then you have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You remember that. But then it gets kind of confusing because there's a whole bunch of these little epistles there. And I just always got confused. So Beth said, oh, it's simple. She said the phrase, General Electric Power Company. I can remember that. So there it is right there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I always remember now. It's a stupid little thing, or silly little thing, I should say. General Electric Power Company. But next week when I test you, you'll know where it is. Okay, so anybody other have better systems than that? How would you remember where Colossians is? Jana's raising her hand. Go eat popcorn. That I like that one better than General Electric, actually. Any others before we move on? No, that is helpful, and it's kind of interesting to learn those. Thanks for sharing the popcorn one. Thanks, Beth, for helping me all these years remember where Colossians is. Well, Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul. You probably know that. We don't know actually if he was in chains or house arrest. Probably house arrest because he evidently had a lot of people visit him and he could ask for supplies and spend time with friends and evidently write a lot because he wrote a lot while in Rome and in prison. Now, Colossians is written for the people in the town of Colossae. And it could be pronounced and spelled a couple different ways. And it was an agricultural town, not too different than here, a little bit hillier in Asia Minor, or what we know as Western Turkey. And I think we have a map that we can project up there. And you can see Colossae. Now, that's spelled a little different than I do. But if you see just to the left, Ephesus, that's where the book of Ephesians was written. And Ephesus is an interesting city. It was a port city. Nowadays, it's like 10 miles away from the Mediterranean because it's all filled in. But it was a very, very big port city. And so Colossae was one of those supportive cities along the trade routes that had a lot of agriculture that would be shipped out of that port city. And Laodicea is just north there. That shows up in the book of Colossians. We'll be talking about that. So this is the southwestern area on the Mediterranean there. Across the bay to the left would be Greece and then Italy. So that's how it looks graphically. And I imagine looking at the landscape of it, it's I have not been to the Turkey sites. I want to do that sometime. Maybe we'll all go together. That'd be fun. Colossae is about 110, 120 miles away from Ephesus. So it's thought that the Apostle Paul, there's a good chance he didn't ever go to that city. But one thing he did was to lead people to the Lord in Ephesus, and one of those was a guy by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras, kind of an unknown figure. But to the Colossians, he was really big because he helped start the church. He stayed with the church to protect it and watch over it and to develop it. And so we might even call him the hero of the day, Epaphras. Now, again, I have memory problems, so I'm going to have you help me. And this is where your testing will come in. Okay, let's put it up there, Josh. Epaphras. Can you say it? One more time. Epaphras. Great, you have it. See, it's pretty simple. And there's a picture. How we found an exact duplication of him is pretty awesome. That's really cool. So what's his name again? Epaphras. Okay, Epaphras is our hero of the morning. We'll be talking about him. And, of course, when Paul wrote his letters, he wrote them to the people he was writing, but he also wrote to us. He wrote to others, and he even said, you know, pass this along. So he wrote to us. The only challenge is we don't have the other side of the discussion. We only have Paul's response back to the issues that he knows about. And it's kind of like the other night Beth was on a phone call, and I'm just hearing one side, and it took me a whole 15 minutes to figure out, who are you talking to? You know, because you listen to one side and you, oh, okay, someone knows that person. Okay, that's happened. You know, and you try to figure out, well, that's where we are with Paul in all the epistles. We don't necessarily know exactly what he's responding to, and that'll become very true as we get into Colossians and future Sundays. But the purpose of the letter is to obviously encourage the people, and that's what he does at the beginning of the book. We're going to cover that in a bit. He's going to encourage them in their hope in Christ. It isn't just to make them happy. It's to help them understand why they should be happy. But it's also to help them deal with challenging times, hard times, to understand the dangers of heresy and false teachers. And that's really a big one. It's a big one because our culture is pulling us so many different directions. We need to understand who Jesus is and what is the truth of Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, Paul wanted them to have, the people of Colossae, a firm footing in understanding the truth of the gospel. He wanted them standing solidly so when the wind blows or the influences of the culture shake and blow us, that they would stand firm. And I think you could sum it up, the book of Colossians really is centering on Jesus Christ, to have him be the center of everything in the world around you. So, as we consider these 14 verses that we're going to look at and how the passages encourage the people of that day, may they encourage us too. So, the first three verses of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, we all know Timothy from other books of the Bible, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. As we mentioned, there's a good chance Paul had never been to that city, but he'd been given reports, enough that his heart was stirred to pray continually for blessings for these folks. He also wanted to encourage them, as we've talked about. And it's good for us to, when we hear good things about people, to pray for them. Sometimes we get in the habit of just praying for problems, just kind of a shopping list. And it's good to hear that Paul's showing us that it's good to pray for people who are doing well. And the Colossians were. So, now, it is true, especially newer Christians tend to be real vulnerable, and we need to pray for protection and guidance for them. And the Lord obviously wants to know our heart concerns and to lift those up. But let's not forget the people who are doing well or being encouraged. Let's go on to verses 4 through 6. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. By the way, whenever you read Paul, his sentences in the Greek style, his sentences could be like two paragraphs long. And so you have these thoughts on thoughts on thoughts on thoughts on thoughts in one sentence sometimes. So they've broken it up a little bit for us, but back in his day, that's the way it was. And in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Well, there's three qualities that really mark a healthy church. And we see them especially in verse 4 and in verse 5. Your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for God's people, and the hope that's stored up for you in heaven. So you could say faith, love, and hope. Now, I know the popular way to say it is faith, hope, and love, but this passage has faith, love, and hope, so we'll use that. It really is a benchmark for a mature Christian and for a healthy church. Great faith in Christ. Great love that identifies us with Jesus Christ. And great hope that I understand times are tough down here sometimes, but we have an eternal goal. We have a goal that takes us to eternity, which should give us great, more than just satisfaction, great delight. So, and those attributes also lead to maturity and stability. And then it says another word. In verse 6, it says, bears fruit, or is bearing fruit. It means there's something that comes of it. There's progress. The cause of Christ is carried forward, and you can see it. And we'll pick that up a lot as we study Colossians. So, let's go on to read verse 7 and 8. You learned it from, what was that? I couldn't quite hear you. Epaphras, okay, yeah. We learned it from him, who not our dear fellow student, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. I think we should all be like Epaphras. I mean, really, he did something, actually, Beth and I talked a lot about this. He talked behind their backs to Paul. They weren't around, and he was talking about them. And I told Beth, that's kind of like positive gossip. I don't think God minds positive gossip. And she says, yeah, but gossip's a real negative word. You shouldn't use that one. But now you'll all remember it, won't you? Positive gossip, yeah. And I think we should be like Epaphras in that he talked positively about the people around him. He really had impact as he saw things, what people were like. And he was excited about it. And he shared it with Paul. We don't know if he didn't rent for him or he just did it in person or through friends. But he gossiped a lot, positively. And it's a great lesson for us to share when people get us excited by who they are, let's share that. Let's tell other people about it, how much you appreciate that. It's like Daryl. Daryl's one of those guys behind the scenes. Man, he does a whole bunch of work. He and Leanne have taken care of us in LaVon, Jana, and there's a bunch of people that I have just really appreciated. I need to list all of you. I'm sorry. I hate to get started with that, but so many of you, and to see so many of you help us move, that was wonderful. And I'm not doing it behind your back, though. I'm doing it in front of you, so it doesn't quite count as gossip. But we'll want to remember that. So let's read this last passage. We're going to read it all in one reading. But I want you to think of it as the Apostle Paul is going to talk to Grandview. Okay? He's going to talk to us 2,000 years ago. So let's read verses 9 through 14. And I want you to be, oh, one other thing. He isn't just talking to us as a church. He's talking to you individually. Okay? A letter, a special courier brought it to us. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. That's awesome. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. One thing I hate to pray for, but it shows up here. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So, what do you take away from this passage? I could ask you. I won't. I hope you take away encouragement. That sure it comes across that way. I hope you are challenged to grow in your knowledge of God. And I hope you let the Spirit of God just explode inside of you so you live a life that is loud. I don't mean loud inappropriately. I mean just full of excitement and energy. A life that you cannot not share with others. Not necessarily by pounding Jesus Christ into them, but just living a life that's appropriate, that's wise, that's thoughtful, that's considerate. And I could go on listing the fruits of the Spirit, which we'll someday do. I pray that you not only do that, but that you know the hope that is in Jesus Christ. The hope that you get your traveling papers for eternity as we go on our walk. And you know they are stamped and approved and secure. If you don't know that, I would love to talk to you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would love to meet with you. I'll be at church on Wednesdays and Thursdays here quite often. So if you want to set a time, I'd love to talk to you about it. Or if you don't want to talk to me, the person you know to be a born-again Christian, they would love to talk to you about it. You can just talk to them. Or, you know, you could just talk to God. But we'd like to know about it. It's very confirming when you tell somebody else. I want your eternity to be in place and secure, and I want you to be confident of that fact. Next week, we're going to focus on Christ being at the center. Who is Jesus Christ? And then we're going on to talk about false teachers and heresy. What do we do when challenges hurt, and how can those lessons point us to have eternal hope? Let me pray. Father, how awesome it is that you talk to us today from words of 2,000 years ago and even beyond. Lord, thank you for allowing us to walk with you, to chat with you, to talk to you at any time. Thank you for living inside of us. May your light shine through us into the lives of others. I pray for those who are considering what it means to walk with Jesus Christ, that you'll continue to draw them to you, and they will know that you are a loving God that wants this journey with them. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.